To receive free company updates straight to the front screen of your smartphone whenever a company you follow releases significant news, download the free Vox Markets app from voxmarkets.co.uk/app. The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Joining us on the podcast, we have Block Energy, ticker BLOE. We also have Cadence Minerals, ticker KDNC. We also have Extract Resources, ticker XTR.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining me today on the podcast, I have Paul Haywood, who's CEO of Block Energy. Thanks for being here today, Paul.
Thanks for having me, Abraham.
Just for those who don't know, could you quickly tell us about Block Energy?
Sure, yeah. Block Energy is an EMP company listed on the AIM market. We listed in June 2018. We've got three interests in the Republic of Georgia. We're party to three production sharing contracts. And we are currently running through what is our second phase of development for our West Rustavi field.
You recently had an important milestone at West Rustavi, and that is bringing it to 100% working interest. Could you tell us a little bit more about the significance of that, please?
Yeah, sure. But we agreed at a transaction with what was our JV partner earlier this year, February 2019. We'd agreed that we would move to 100% based on certain milestones being hit and payments being made to our original JV partner. So we basically topped him up at the PLC level so that he can benefit from any gain in the share's value. But yet we've taken 100% interest at the asset level and taken full control of moving the asset forward. So we handle our stakeholders' destiny whilst any upside had in the equity value is gained by him due to a slightly stronger interest in the company. So it's a win-win for everybody. And given the significant success had at Well 16AZ, we now have 100% economic interest on any revenue derived from future production. So it's an important milestone for the company for many different reasons, but most importantly, the economic interest has been enhanced by circa 30%. So we're very happy with the move, and is in line with original forecasts.
Paul, there's been some questions around the issue of equity, especially given Block Energy's balance sheet is so strong. Could you shed some light to investors about this?
Yeah, sure, Abraham. Thanks for the question, actually. You're absolutely right. We were contacted yesterday by some of our PIs actually asking exactly the same question. It's a good one. Look, throughout 2018 and whilst executing what was our original work program, we were very much focused on keeping our service providers honest and making sure that they were rewarded for providing top-notch services and against and the work program delivering. And we entered into agreements with certain service providers whereby if the program delivered and value was added, then they too would be rewarded. So the final issue of equity that was announced as part of the increase in working interest in West Rustavi was a 2018 obligation that's been on the company's books for some time, and milestones were reached, value was added, and therefore our service providers were rewarded. I must state very clearly, actually, that the company has no interest in entering into such agreements with service providers going forward, given this is success proven throughout West Rustavi 16, and most importantly, the robustness of the current of our current balance sheet. So, there'll be no more services for equity. The original program for us was important in that it enabled us to define top-notch service providers against those that are somewhat average, and those that are top-notch have been rewarded. So, I think there should be no more concerns from our current followers and supporters of the company entering into such agreements going forward. But an important point to discuss, actually, Abe, and thanks for raising it.
Amazing. Paul, thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, the last point was really interesting, that in construction of choosing a contractor who actually will execute within the time frame and within the budget you give them is actually like not as straightforward as people think.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, and I hope I captured it, but kind of moving through the initial program, you know, you do have, you've got your A, B and C team, right? And you definitely don't want to be going back and using your Cs again.
Yeah.
Your Bs are good, stable runners, and your A teams, you want them, you want to keep them tightly aligned with the company.
Yeah.
And rewarded when they perform. And if they perform, you know, let's get them involved in a company and make sure they've got a vested interest in creating value going forward yet again. Yeah. And that's exactly the sort of structure we created, actually.
And at West Rastavi, there's a lot of work going on at the moment. Could you just quickly tell us about what's going on there?
Yeah, sure. So we're preparing for our step-out execution of a step-out well number 38, which is about 2.5 to 3 kilometres west of 16AZ. So we're planning to spud that sometime very soon, and an announcement will be put out to the market shortly. Defining that original spud date was somewhat conditional on pinning down the rig contracts and contracts with additional service providers, which is pretty much now finalised. So we'll be announcing to the market an exact spud date shortly. And then we'll be getting back into well 38, drilling down to the Middle Eocene and performing another 500 to 600 metres, possibly slightly longer actually this time round, horizontal sidetrack of that particular well. Post that well, we're moving straight across further west actually to well number 30, going back down into the Middle Eocene, well, Lower Eocene this time round, Upper Cretaceous, and retest the gas discovery that was had back in the early 80s. And then we're going to come back up that same well bore, and we're going to drill out into the Middle Eocene and bring it online as an oil producer. Thereafter, we're back east to well 51, and then we're drilling new wells. So it's we're hoping to get 2 new wells down by the end of this year, or sorry, on 2 re-entries by the end of this year, ramp up existing production, and then move into 1 further re-entry and then into our new well development program. So yeah, there really is a lot going on at the moment, Abraham. So we're very busy.
Well, that's an incredible amount of work coming up. There's a lot for shareholders to look forward to, and a lot of milestones coming up, it seems like.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, as our followers will be aware, we're fully funded to execute this part of the program, and you know, considering similar results had at 16AZ, the company should be producing, you know, meaningful amounts of oil relative to kind of, you know, our peer group, and be enjoying a fair amount of free cash, which we expect to then kind of basically utilise to self-fund our phase 3 development program throughout West Rastavi, and other interests that are bubbling away in the background. So yeah, no, we're looking forward to being in an extremely positive position post this next phase of work, and be in a very strong position to utilise what we've now created in Georgia. I mean, we've got and we've created an excellent footprint over the years, and have quite a unique position actually to take advantage of other opportunities out there. So
yeah, that's amazing. And I feel like it's part of the iceberg that Block Energy is sitting on. Do you know or have any indication of when you'll be testing the legacy gas resource?
Yeah, well, we'll definitely be getting after that as part of the well number 30 program. So retesting the Upper Cretaceous Lower Eocene is focused on exactly that, retesting a large share of the contingent resources that have been attributed to the West Rastavi permit. And most of that resource sits in the Upper Cretaceous and Lower Eocene. So you're one of the primary objectives of getting back into well number 30, not only to increase our P50, P90 reserve boundaries, but also get after de-risking that contingent resource and kind of proving up the gas play, because as I'm sure our followers are aware, that's that is one hell of a number, hell of a prize, I should say, to de-risk. And a successful test of well number 30 will be significant for many reasons, but most importantly, prove up what we deem to be a significant play throughout West Rastavi. So We'd expect to begin, as I mentioned earlier, we'll be getting after that program before this year's out. We'd expect to have that well done and tested by the end of this year, if not slightly before. So, that's a large part of the company's focus going forward.
When you had your latest fundraise, what were the institutional investors mostly interested in or most excited about?
It was the ramp up in production and generation of free cash. That was a very common common interest between everybody we saw in that last fundraise. Exploration is still very much out of vogue, I should say. Production is king. Investors right now are not interested in taking exploration risk, no matter how big the prize is, and they are purely about being able to value a company off of tangible assets and revenue, basically. And that were two large boxes that we were able to tick during our last fundraise, and therefore got the support of some pretty good names. That's quite a significant asset base and a massive potential in being able to support what could well be a far larger story. So yeah, that were the two key boxes that were required to tick to kind of gain the interest, that's for sure.
Paul, could you give us three reasons why investors should be following Block Energy at the moment?
Sure. We're fully funded. We're extremely active. We got a immediate spud date coming up on our next exciting well, and we'll be drilling back-to-back wells shortly thereafter. So, through what is typically quite a quiet time of the year for most companies, we're going to be extremely active. So, I think I covered your three there, Abraham.
Brilliant, Paul. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast today. It was a pleasure talking to you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining me on the podcast today, I have Kieran Mozaria, CEO of Cadence Minerals. The ticker is KDNC. Thanks for being here today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Abram, for taking this call.
Just very quickly for investors who don't know about Cadence, tell us about the company.
Yeah, so Cadence is an AIM-listed company, and it's an investment company with investments across really two main asset suites. The first are lithium assets, which, as you know, lithium is effectively the element for power, the electrification of our cars and our houses. And we also have more recently been involved in the iron ore developing story, where we have 10% of something called MacArthur Minerals, which is a very large iron ore deposit in Australia, which has got Glencore as it's one of its backers. And we also have recently got the right to acquire up to 49% of a historic iron ore mine in the Amapa area of northern Brazil. So we have the iron ore and the lithium. The lithium primarily is to do with European Metals Holdings, which just put an announcement out today, and also a JV with Bacanora Minerals.
Brilliant. And the announcement today, before we get into that, you had a corporate update yesterday, the 15th. Could you just take us through that and the significance of that, please?
Yeah, it was really updating the market as on the Amapa iron ore deposit. About a month ago, we had said that we'd entered into investment agreement and we would be basically progressing in acquiring initially 27%, going up to 49%. Basically, we have the first right of refusal up to 49%. The Amapa iron ore deposit is a large iron ore deposit that used to produce over 6 million tons a year. At its height, had an operating profit, $107 million a year. So what we're looking to do is, through a process of judicial restructuring, which is like an administration process in Brazil, is effectively bring that asset back onto production. And all that we were telling everyone in the market yesterday was that, look, we've gone through the first stage, we've put our $2.5 million into the judicial account, and then that's the first stage for us to get to ownership and up to operating. So another thing that we highlighted in that RNS was that the next stage will be creditors meeting, which we expect to occur at the end of August. At that point, and after some preconditions are met, like getting the licenses back, we'll own our 20%, and then we can start carrying out operations at the site. So that will include, with the eventual short-term goal of getting iron ore shipped from the site, because there's a stockpile there, a substantial stockpile, which will provide revenue to the joint venture to get that started shipping by the end of the year. Carry out the necessary studies, so including plant beneficiation studies, mine plan studies, updating the resource statement. So very typical thing to get this into production, fully into production. So initially we'll be looking to ship some iron ore at the end of this year and continue that process as we develop the asset.
Amazing. And today you've recently updated the market about your funding arrangement. Could you just elaborate a little bit more on that and shed some light on that?
Yeah, so, you know, as part of, we've raised some equity funding recently for effectively to partly pay the MAPA $2.5 million. We used some of our working capital. We had cash in the bank to pay the rest of that $2.5 million. But we need working capital on site. So for all the things that I mentioned, you know, effectively starting the resource statement, doing all those studies that recommend, which are all part and parcel of bringing this asset into production, there'll be expenditure. So we will need to make that expenditure and it will credit to our joint venture costs. So, we'll be getting a percentage, effective percentage for that. So we will be doing that work. And that's, you know, we've raised some additional money through our convertible loan notes to fund that. And we've restructured our loan notes. Previously, our loan notes had a higher percentage interest. We've now brought the percentage down in terms of effective interest. And we've also restructured them so that we are not pressurized for cash flow. So we only pay interest for the rest of this period until the end of this year, and then we will pay the 50% of the principal for the next 8 months, and then 50% bullet payments at the end of the period.
Kieran, could you tell me a little bit more about the European metals?
Yeah, so today was a really exciting result. Effectively, European metals have got a convertible loan note with the largest, CEZ, which is the largest utility company in the Czech Republic. They provide utility, and they're looking to develop utilities and power to the Czech Republic. And they're looking to develop, as it says in the announcement, they're looking for them to develop into the energy storage, electrification of the Czech Republic via battery storage. So it's a really excellent strategic relationship that is being developed there. And in particular, because it's a national utility, they're investing in a company that's going to provide, hopefully when it comes to production, lithium for them, or lithium to provide the batteries. And then additional lithium carbonate or lithium hydroxide, depending on what the eventual technology determines it to be. And on top of that, I think one of the issues that lied historically with EMH was that they needed a government buy-in. And I think given that shares are 70% owned by the Czech government, we are seeing a government buy-in to this asset. And a government buying the assets, to me, means that there's a real possibility of this progressing rapidly and with the minimum amount of administrative issues to move this forward. And I think this has been really critical for EMH to progress and move forward through its studies with the idea to be into venture production.
Thank you, Kieran. And as always, could you give investors three reasons why they should be following Cadence Minerals and add the company to their watch list, please?
Yeah, absolutely. The first reason is Cadence is a diversified investment company in the mineral resource sector. So by following Cadence, you'll see an exposure across multiple commodities, some of which are the new age metals or the critical metals for electrification, and some are in sort of base metals and iron ore. Two, we have exposure to the lithium, some critical lithium assets. The first is EMH, which is one of the largest hard rock deposits in Europe, is the largest hard rock deposit in Europe and one of the largest in the world, and is in a critical location for where all the major electrification vehicles are going to occur, like VW, Skoda. So it's a critical strategic location. We also have exposure to BCN through a small equity holding, and our our joint venture, which is another lithium asset in Mexico, which is going through the financing to construct this asset. And then we have a suite of iron ore assets. The first is McArthur Minerals, which is supported by Glencore. It has a Glencore financing behind it and is going through its bankable feasibility study. And then we have Amapa Iron Ore, which we're investing in, have a right to, you know, we could go up to 49%, and the Amapa Iron Ore asset, it should be, you know, with all the permits getting into place, be able to get to shipping from its stockpile by the end of this year, and then production thereafter from the mine.
Well, there's a lot to look forward to, Kieran. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining me on the podcast today, I have Colin Bird from Extract Resources. Thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.
For those who don't know, Colin, could you just briefly introduce Extract Resources and what the company is?
Well, Extract Resources is a company primarily based in gold in Mozambique, the Manica project. It's got alluvials which are producing. It's got a deal with the Horizon Mining to develop the Art Rock mine to somewhere around 35,000 ounces a year. It's now acquired exploration rights on this particular production acquisition in Zambia. So it's a company which is trying to build up income, and at the same time, it's got the blue sky of exploration potential, both in Manica and in Zambia. So production with blue sky.
So tell us, Colin, tell us about this memorandum of agreement that you've signed.
Yes, well, it's in Zambia. As you know, I personally have had quite some success in Zambia. And it's totally consistent with the mission of Extract. Getting, how shall I put it, low entry situations where the potential is not low, where the potential is extremely high. And you will see with Manica, for example, if we compare with our gold in Mozambique, we've offset the risk with the contractor, and we get and share with Nexus, and we end up with some 25-26% of the income divided by half. You will then see we've gone on to the Art Rock, and we'll be doing production between 30,000 and 35,000 ounces, and getting 20 to 23% of the profits. Obviously, that, well, not obviously, but the 20 to 23 is based on the prevailing gold price. If the gold price is above 23, above 1250, we get 23. Now in Zambia, we've gone to this operation, which there's material available, 1.3, 1.4 million tons of material available for reprocessing, a mixture of oxides and sulfides, some extremely high grades, some really very unusual grades. And you've got a pit, which is now flooded, which can be extended north and south to provide primary hard rock. And the history says 2 to 4% primary. And of course, history says that the mine operated at an average of 9.45% and often sent direct shipping ore down to the smelters in Kitwe, Kitwin area, at plus 25%. So we've got a lot of that material. We've got material dumped, 1.35 million tons, which we don't have to win out of the ground. And we've got very high-grade material, which we will have to win out of the ground, but quite frankly can be upgraded for, again, either direct smelting or be a superior product to the mine that we're sending it to. So this time round, certainly at the outset, I'm not even considering a contractor. I can see the numbers working very, very well for us. And, you know, I've got that pattern, which hasn't been, I don't think we've seen it in our junior mining sector, where I'm looking for between 300,000 and 500,000 pounds of earnings a month from 4 or 5 operations. And that's the sort of portfolio I'm trying to build. And this fits the mission, fits it admirably. So I've been working on it for a long, long time. And quite frankly, I'm very pleased that we've got it. I'm looking forward to great copper prices next year. And this operation, the local community, they're very, very streetwise when it comes to mining. They've had a long history of mining, so there's people with blasting licenses. There's guys who are used to driving machinery. But of course, we won't be buying our own plant. We'll be jobbing out the mining, and we'll be operating our own processing plant, which in the early days might be quite rudimentary, the early days being 2 months. And thereafter, we want to build up to sophisticated hand sorting, and thereafter to either flotation or heap leaching, or a combination of both if the ore extension warrants. So this small mine could grow into a big mine quite rapidly. And then, of course, we'd consider what we consider at Manika. Do we job some of it out? Do we share the risk? But my idea is to get our loyal shareholders good income, reliable income from a number of sources. And as I say, long-winded explanation, but this acquisition fits very, very nicely into that ambition and that mission.
What else can you tell us about the structure of the agreement and the license in particular?
Well, the license is huge. It's part of a large-scale mining license there in Zambia. It was the richest mine. We say the richest mine in Zambia because nobody likes you to be so absolute as to say the richest. Shall we say one of the richest? But in actual fact, there's been very few copper mines around the world with such high grades. So it fits into a very large concession. We haven't got the exploration rights for the entire concession. That's held with others. Our partners, KPZ, are businessmen who actually understand and have got a great belief in the progress of copper. And this sits quite nicely as a processing zone within a large-scale license. So structurally, we're going in there as contractor. Certain debts have got to be paid off to the company KPZ who own it. When that's paid off, we go up, if you read the announcement, we go up to about 43% of the earnings. By then, the earnings, you will see also that 6,000 tons of copper is the minimum target. So we're not talking about a Mickey Mouse mine here. We're talking about building up by the middle of next year to quite a large project. So that's the structure of KPZ, large mining concession, of which the area that Extractive entered into is a processing zone made up of dumps and the potential to widen up what was an open pit. And if we get round to pumping the pit out, which will be a big task, we might not want to do that. At the bottom there is quite a lot of material at 4% plus, so maybe we will pump it out. But initially, we want to get in there, low-hanging fruits of the dump, assess and drill the extension potentials, and bring in and progressively build up a bigger operation.
So there's a lot shareholders can look forward to with regards to this particular license. But in general, for the company as always, could you just give investors three reasons why they should be following XTR Extract Resources?
Well, the investors are well aware that we've got modest earnings coming from our alluvials. These earnings by around about, around about March next year, we'll have 23% of a, assuming the gold price is above 1250, of an operation producing about 35,000 ounces a year. And we will be well into a copper project, which has got a target of not less than 6,000 a year. So there's three good reasons why shareholders should be buying into potential cash flow, well, into existing cash flow, potential cash flow, and a growing portfolio of easily managed mines if we operate them ourselves, and if there's any complexity, we job out the risk and share the benefits. So acquiring positions. So three good reasons: it's early, it's cash flow. In cash flow, will be increasing year on year, and the entry price and the market cap are quite not related to the portfolio potential.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Colin, very much for spending the time with us today.
Thank you very much indeed.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And the five most followed companies on Vox Markets, starting with number five. We have Randgold Resources. And number four, we have Vodafone Group, ticker VOD. And number three, we have Gfinity, ticker GFIN. At number two, we have Polarian Imaging, ticker POLX. And at number one, the most followed company on Vox Markets is Blackbird, ticker BIRD. And the five most liked RNSs at Vox Markets is starting with number five, Wide Cells Group, with a change of name to Iconic Labs PLC. And number four, we have positive metallurgical test work results from Armadale Capital. At number three, we have Trinity Exploration with their quarter two 2019 operational update. At number two, we have Fast Forward In, an investee company update, where they've acquired Terre Verde. And at number one, the most liked RNS on Vox Markets is Big Dish, where they signed a partnership with Oceanic Media.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research. To receive free company updates straight to the front screen of your smartphone whenever a company you follow releases significant news, download the free Vox Markets app from voxmarkets.co.uk/app.